All right, Alexander, we have the questions from our live stream with Jackson Hinkle to go over. So let's begin. From T-Tom, are you familiar with the UN 106-107? Those two give the USSR Russia to take all measures against countries in case of NAZI.
No, I'm not familiar with these. I think these must be resolutions which condemn NAZIism, if I can put it like that, which the United Nations regularly passes every year. But I don't think it gives the Russians, they give these resolutions, if I'm talking about the right thing, that these give the Russians a blank check to respond or retaliate or take action against NAZIs wherever or whenever. So that's all I can say about that.
From Commander Crossfire, what's with Kazakh banning the beer card? And in general, the silence from the CSTO and EAEU is deafening. Do they not realize Russia is fighting for them as well? Are Russians fraternal allies, fair-weather friends?
No, I don't. First of all, I've seen that the mere thing with Kazakhstan was denied. I think that this is probably a muddled-up story with Turkey, actually, where I understand that the Turks have stopped the Mir card for the moment after the tourist season, but are actually preparing to bring it back when the tourist season resumes. So they're playing a dance with the US on this. As for the other states, well, all I could say was that they were all present in Moscow, their intelligence chiefs, and they had a meeting with Putin in the Kremlin, and he gave a long speech there. So I don't think that these organizations have disappeared or are idle or anything like that. On the contrary, they were all present at Samarkand, and that was a big meeting. And that's perhaps a sign that, you know, Eurasianism is still pretty much on track.
All right. Liam says, great to see all three of you together. Vibhu, thank you for that super sticker. James S. says, the stream won't be perfect until I get a Justin versus Ursula impression dialogue. Thank you, James. Mr. 13FNG says, the Duran freaking rocks. Claudia, thank you for that super sticker. Sharon Kitty NI2 says, where is the green outrage over the pipeline leak? Looks to me like a real ecological disaster.
Well, of course, I mean, the Greens, let's be straightforward about that. They're not, even their ecological concerns are now becoming selective. I won't say it any more than that. And of course, if it was their friends in Washington who did it, well, they'll be even less, more reticent about it than they would otherwise be.
Bauke says, we have the tracks of the U.S. helicopters, I guess. Is the U.S.-UK terrorism on a continental scale? Let's hope Germany wakes up.
Well, let's hope so indeed. But for its political class is not so much asleep as going about with its eyes determinedly shut. And that's the problem. What the German people eventually work out is another matter. The German media is one of the most controlled and conformist and Atlanticist in the world. But Germany does have historically an alternative media culture, and we'll see whether and how that expresses itself.
Toilet Sauce says, Radek Sikorsky, married to neocon extraordinaire Anne Applebaum, thanked the US for blowing up NS2. This is an act of war, and it is directed simultaneously at Russia and NATO member Germany. He took down that tweet, by the way,
Alexander. He did indeed, absolutely.
FYI.
No, of course he did, yeah. But, you know, I'm in Toilet Sauce. I hear all of that. You know, what can I add? I agree.
Gerald Armstrong says, is this a false flag?
No, it's not a false flag. It will become a false flag when and if it's attributed to the wrong party. At the moment, the Western powers are very careful not to attribute it to any party, because they know who really did it, and they're too scared to say.
Yep, Jeffrey, thank you for that super sticker. Achriman, thank you for that super sticker. Maria Fernandez, thank you for that super sticker. Toilet Sauce says, methinks someone in Germany or Brussels was thinking about cutting their losses No step back, said Uncle Sam.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, if there's all this truth, if there's any truth about the Saudi mediation proposals and with the economy in Europe going to pieces, I think that's probably true. And as you said, Uncle Sam, let's not say Uncle Sam, let's say Uncle Joe, in no step back, that would be completely understandable.
T-Tom says, energy and food crisis in Europe makes it easy to recruit and mobilize wide population with programmed hate, reason for destruction of NSSs, Nord Streams.
Yeah. I don't disagree. Yeah.
Paulie says, Zelensky sold his villa at Forte del Marni in Italy just last weekend.
I saw that. Maybe he needs cash. Fast.
Yeah. Summer of 1970, thank you for that super sticker. Shaudia said, thank you for that super sticker. Mark Ackman says, whatever else you can say, the Italian electorate replaced Mario Draghi with Giorgia Meloni. Big change in a very particular direction.
That's entirely true. And we mustn't let our skepticism about Meloni itself translate into Italian voters. I mean, the Italian voters have made it very clear that they want a change. Whether they will get it is another matter. But the Italian people, the Italian voters, are clearly signalling that they're not happy with the direction of events. And that is an important fact, and all Democrats should recognise it. I mean, Democrats, people who believe in democracy.
Hank Kooning, thank you for that super chat. Sparky says the U.S. may have simply used depth charges, precision dropped from helicopters instead of using divers, which would have been tedious and dangerous.
I'm not going to discuss this. I don't have that kind of technical military knowledge. Who knows?
M62259 says, does Russia view this as an escalation at all?
Yes, it does. I think the Russians see this as a very serious escalation indeed. In fact, I was seeing reports in the Russian media that over the course of his conversation with Erdogan, Putin called it an act of international terrorism. And in his speech in the Kremlin, which we've discussed, Alex and I, when he signed off on the accession of the four regions into Russia, he actually said that the Europeans are now sabotaging the European energy infrastructure. So I think he takes it very seriously.
Dave Shaw says, just like Salisbury poisoning, USA all over it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Scribbles.
Where are
Sparky
they?
Sparky says, the US likely...
Where are they, I wonder? Under the earth somewhere?
Whatever happened to them?
Yeah.
Sparky says the U.S. likely used contractors, plausible deniability.
Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, I'm not going to try and reproduce that the way it was done. I mean, I don't know, but why not? Yeah.
Why not? JetSet.1 says the German foreign minister said voting was done at gunpoint. So given that the result in Lugansk shows that 97% said yes to join Russia, I guess only 3% was shot.
Absolutely. I mean, bare box comments on these are just ludicrous. At any point, I mean, it clearly wasn't done at gunpoint, and there's no indication or sign that it was.
Yeah. Darnbo says the United States blew up the pipelines, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sparky says leaves Ukraine as main pipeline route, so NATO can justify invading Ukraine to protect the only major pipelines to Germany left.
Well, that, of course, makes the assumption that...
Turkstream as well.
Yeah, there's Turkstream as well, of course. Absolutely. There's Turkstream. That's absolutely correct. Half the Ukrainian pipeline network is out of order. It's been shut down by Ukraine. So only part of the Ukrainian pipeline system is working at the moment. So, you know, energy flows, gas flows have reduced. Now, to take a step like that, march into Ukraine, confront the Russian military there, I mean, you're talking about a World War III scenario. Now, maybe we'll get to that eventually, but I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, Juha says, things escalating rapidly now. No good outcome in sight anymore.
I agree. I believe it's no good outcome for us.
Commander Crossfire, one of two. Part one, shouldn't the CSTO consider an attack on Donbass, an attack on Russia after the Union? Why wouldn't Russia call them? Mobilized for more troops, but shouldn't their, part two of two, shouldn't their allies provide some as well? Or will they not recognize the results? If not, what kind of alliance is this?
Well, I mean, they're
far and not even words of support.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Russians will call on the CSTO. I think that they don't want to push this alliance to the test. The function of the CSTO is not really to act as a military alliance. And let's be very clear about this. It is a mechanism for the Russians to keep some kind of military supervision over these Central Asian states. So this isn't, it's not as if these countries have any military forces that are of significant size that they can contribute to Russia, to what the Russians want to do. It's like the United States in Vietnam. The United States conducted operations in Vietnam, but it never called on its NATO partners to participate in them. At least as NATO, it didn't call on NATO to participate in it. Yeah.
Tech Divers says the dissolution of Russia is taught by a professor in a UK university. The URL of the course is DRGNL, and the extension is COM. Mm-hmm. It says that some parts of Russia will enter NATO.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. I'm well aware of that. There are lots of people like that in Britain who want to see that outcome.
Hank, thank you for that super chat. Prime Minister Diversity says, oh gosh, this is unfortunate. Just send the pipelines to Canada. We can repair them in no time.
Absolutely. You've hit on the solution. We must call Justin Trudeau and he'll put his people on the case right away. I mean, it'll be working tomorrow. Guaranteed.
Yes, like the first turbine. Troy Superstar says, a report that stated that only state-level actors could have conducted this, a mention of submarines, divers, explosives, etc. What are the facts to date?
Well, I don't know that we have a huge amount of facts. I believe undoubtedly that it was a state actor. I mean, these are big pipelines, very strong pipelines. You need to know exactly where the pipelines are. You need to know exactly how much explosive you need. You need to have all that explosive. You need people who can plant it. I can't imagine anybody who wasn't a state actor doing this. And that reduces the number of parties who could have done it very drastically.
Linda, thank you for that super chat. Sparky says, funny how the West provoked Russian invasion right when Nord Stream 2 was about to go online.
No, it's not. I mean, no, we did programs about this at the time. We were talking, we did programs saying the extent to which this thing, this whole crisis was to a great extent a crisis about Nord Stream 2. I must say, I find the US fixation with Nord Stream 2, borderline paranoid myself. But there's no doubt at all that these events are completely connected with each other. There was no coincidence about that at all.
Valky says, if I were Russian, I would sabotage the LNG offloading stations in Germany.
But there's already talk about that. I even read an article, I think it was on Zero Hedge, in which they talked about LNG tankers as floating Hindenburgs, Hindenburg being the major airship that blew up in 1938 when it was travelling to New York City. So, and, you know, if you start down this road, then, you know, sabotage and counter-sabotage, it can spread.
RKB says, Biden admin top priority is fighting climate change. That is viewed as the real enemy, not Russia. Cut off EU from fossil fuel and force them to convert to solar and wind, coming to the USA soon, too.
You know, I think these things all together dovetail. I think that there are people fixated with climate change in the administration. And I think one of the reasons some of those people hate Russia so much is because they see it as the biggest producer of fossil fuels. So all of these things converge in the feverish minds of some people.
Sparky says, Germans love their forests. Too bad that they may need to harvest them for fuel this winter.
True enough.
Asmi06 says the Russian Ministry of Defense officially denied rumors about Zelensky's call.
Yes, I know.
No, Zaluzhny's call.
Yes, I heard that. That is entirely correct. And, that, you know, we broached it, but now the Russians have made it clear that never happened. Lots of rumors circulating about diplomatic contacts. I think they've all kind of quietened after the Nord Stream attacks.
Sir Schmengel says, what will take for Germany to realize that the U.S. does not have their best interests at heart? Do they have to be reduced to abject desperation by freezing this winter?
I don't know what it will take, but sooner or later, the Germans will work it out. I mean, people do. And then there will be an enormous reaction. We're not anywhere close to that point. There's still enormous residual pro-US feeling in Germany because of the US role in building up Germany after the Second World War. But seeing it all being reversed in this way by the US is going to turn the Germans against the Americans eventually. How long it will be, what will make it happen, I can't guess.
Minister of Jesus Christ, thank you for that super chat. Terry Barnes says, Scott Ritter recently mentioned that Germany's plan to have armed forces in city streets this October. Have any of you heard about that?
Yes, I have heard about it, and I think it's true. And what a terrifying thing that is. In a European country, there's already talk about using the army, the military, for that kind of internal control.
Charhard, thank you for that super chat. Colbury, thank you for that super sticker. Space Pathfinder says, everyone talks about the economic crisis, but no one can explain why the highways in Europe are full of trucks. There have never been as many as there are now.
I don't know. But there is an economic crisis. Certainly there is in Britain. And I'm in contact with people in Germany, and they're starting to feel the problems there as well. So it may be that the trucks are moving now. The reason that they're moving now is because there's still fuel and people want to move their goods as quickly as they can before the fuel runs out. That's one possibility. Never discount that.
Sparky says, I stand corrected on my assertion that the only main gas pipeline remaining to Germany was through Ukraine. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sparky. No worries. NGS says, Russians, they always blow up their own energy infrastructure to the detriment of others. Will Europeans wake up and ask the obvious questions?
Not quite so. I mean, when will the Europeans wake up? I don't know. I mean, the point is, at the moment, the way that Europe is handling the story of Nord Stream, the Nord Stream attacks, is not to discuss them.
Summer of 1970 says, thank you to the Duran. Your channel is so badly needed now for so many reasons. Dave Shaw, thank you for that super chat. Linda Petit, thank you for that super chat. Gloria says, another great discussion. I love you guys, or dudes. A different perspective says, Western propaganda is superb. Powerful UN speeches and interviews, i.e. Petro and Lavrov, were unnoticed. Yet while being held in New York, crazy. Do you see the UN model being replaced because of such compromise?
Not for the time being. I think that one of the reasons it won't be replaced is that because both the Global South and the Eurasians want to keep it going. And, you know, you can replace the United Nations, but you can't simply do away with the West's media monopoly. I'm going to say something. I think that is, at the moment, their most important power, even more than their control of the global financial system. It's their control of the global information system that gives them power. And until that's really significantly challenged, the West will remain a powerful force in the world.
Sparky says, American retailer Sears sold many Michelin tires branded Allstate in the 60s. I have a Sears Ted Williams fishing reel made in 1960s Italy. Moscow American says, Democrat Jeff Young running for Congress, abolish the CIA. He has been broadcast with Ritter and Ray McGovern. Yeah. Would you have him on the program?
Yeah, possibly. Sure. If he'd come along.
Raul Pitt. Raul Pinto says, why does Russia need to attack the pipeline when they can simply turn it off?
Obvious question. Which answers itself, they don't.
NV Storm says, the Ukrainian conflict was the perfect opportunity to cripple Europe, an American ally more than happy to dig its own grave.
Yeah, absolutely.
True. Commando Crossfire says, Ugandan land forces. Commander says, an attack on Russia is an attack on Africa. North Korea willing to send men. Why won't Russia allow for foreign volunteers?
Because I think that they probably don't want to internationalize this conflict too far. And because if they have too many other countries joining in this war, or rather nationals of too many other countries, then it becomes more difficult to control. If it's the Russian military and people directly supervised by Moscow, then Moscow is able to run this operation as it wants. And I think that's the entire reason, actually.
Denise Cervantes, thank you for that super sticker. Brian, thank you for that super sticker. Joanna, thank you for that super sticker. Adam A says, the only reason to blow NS2 up, insurance money.
No, I think that this is a geopolitical thing. I don't think it's just money.
Sir Schmangel says, Ursula von der Crazy always promotes the rules-based international order as a reason to oppose Russia. How is this different to international law?
It's completely different. The rules-based international order is a set of rules decided on arbitrarily by the United States and its friends and imposed on everybody else. International law is something which has its foundations in the United Nations Charter and in the decisions of courts, court precedents stretching back to the 17th century. So we're talking about two completely different things.
Vplan, thank you for that super sticker. Peter Zotti says, I suspect there will be a Save Europe campaign similar to the Haitian earthquake campaigns where the Clinton Foundation will make billions.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
CC says, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but given Germany's track record of decisions lately, I can't help but believe even this explosion was part of the plan.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I mean, there's no question. Of course it was a plan, part of a plan.
Jerry Fairchild says, is the westernization of the UN that Lavrov spoke of in his speech at the UN going to lead to its dissolution as per the League of Nations?
What he was referring to was the takeover by the West, which, by the way, is a long-standing thing, goes all the way back to the 1990s, of the UN's various agencies, including, first and foremost, the UN Secretariat. And this is a real problem, and it's going to take a very, very long time to untangle. But you must distinguish between the UN's agencies, which are essentially all Western-controlled now, and the United Nations as a deliberative body in the General Assembly and the Security Council. And those two, I think, as far as the Russians are concerned, retain value.
Chef Nick Nero says they want to destroy it all so they can go digital, global utopia where we are all chained to our phones and at their will and on our knees.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think there are people with that agenda. I will only repeat what I've said before. He who sows the storm reaps the whirlwind. The idea that you can control chaos is foolishness. It's insane, in fact. And people who think they can do that and who are causing destruction in order to achieve that are engaging in the most dangerous folly.
BitKong says, hashtag first nuke at Davos. Juan says, Viva the Duran. I love those two Greeks. Tyler Durden says, maybe Schroeder made a deal and they literally had to torpedo it.
Who knows? I'm sure that this was done. It was obviously planned in the summer. I mean, you know, the fact that the CIA was really tipping off the Germans back in, I think it was June or July, that it was going to happen, tells you that this was already being prepared then. But clearly, somebody was worried that there would be a deal. There was a time, if you remember, when Schroeder was visiting Moscow and having talks with people there. So very probably a decision was made, blow up the pipelines, prevent these pipelines ever going into operation, because there's a real risk that the Germans and the Russians might do a deal with each other.
Life of Brian says, is the loss of global confidence in the U.S. financial institutions offsetting the dollar's rise relative to Europe?
I think that you have to understand that the dollar's rise is a product of the collapse of other currencies, which, by the way, to some extent includes the RMB, the Chinese currency. China is going through a difficult financial period at the moment. But look at the one currency that is holding firm against the dollar. It's the ruble. The ruble, actually, incredible as it sounds, is holding firm against the dollar at the moment. And that is extraordinary. The fact that the euro and sterling are collapsing is a sign that there is a total loss of confidence in them. So the dollar looks strong because other currencies like the sterling and the euro at the moment are so weak.
PR Tap, thank you for that super sticker. Tatiana, thank you for that super sticker. Davis Colby says, will Germany recognize that a war has been launched against it, but it's not Russia that's waging it?
Eventually. Not anytime soon, though.
Sharon Kidney, too, says, fundamentally, I think that the biggest problem is thinking in terms of zero-sum game as opposed to finding a win-win solution.
Absolutely. I mean, win-win solutions like the energy partnership between Europe and Russia. So you remain adversarial in many respects, but you still trade with each other. But of course, some people don't see that. They see everything as a zero-sum game. And that's how neocons think. And that's why they're so dangerous and so destructive.
Bauke says, what they gain is stature among their own. You and me, they don't give a flying F. It's that simple. Their bed is made. Their class flourishes the further the brinksmanship advances.
Absolutely correct. Entirely agree with every point of that.
Etienne says, Alex and Alexander, I really appreciate your points of view in these crazy times. I used to think that Jackson was just some young punk, but before seeing him on the Duran and Viva Barnes.
Yeah.
Sparky says, all part of globalists' war on small business.
Yeah, true enough. Globalists loathe small business.
Yes, Radio Constantinople says, no matter who did it, the vast majority of Europeans will blame the US.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, actually. I'm a bit more cynical about that. I think many Europeans will accept whatever they're told about this. And we have to be realistic about that. But I think a lot of people will have figured this one out. I mean, this is so illogical. It's so ludicrous that the Russians would blow up their own pipeline when they can just switch it off, as the other viewer said, that many people will simply say, this is just too much. This is too ludicrous a theory for me to accept.
Trevelyn Gale, thank you for that super sticker. Michael Yurik, thank you for that super sticker. Sparky says, elites see others as drones. Drones are people too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sparky. Illy Bell says, thank you for your work. Hope for Russia and Poland. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that. NGS says, will the blow to NS strengthen the West or enhance tensions within? Germany can go silent for long and suddenly explode. Then Europe explodes too. Do our leaders know our history and what they are doing?
I think these policies, whatever immediate gains they give to the neocons, ultimately are disastrous because they weaken the fabric of the West. I come back to the point I have repeatedly made. What does the United States, what do the globalists, if you like, gain by destroying the European economy? I mean, I can see why they might think they gain something from it. But their conception is ultimately an insane one, an irrational one. The right thing to do if you want to build a power block is to make sure that every part of it is strong, not weaken your own power block in this kind of way.
Mobius Zero says, with all this, what happens to Asia? Any hope that South Korea and Japan will get closer to China?
Not for a long time, at least not in the case of Japan. I mean, Japan is, unfortunately, and we have to be realistic about this, Japan and China they have so much previous history that they see each other now as rivals. And that's the most important thing in their foreign policies at the moment. South Korea is different. South Korea might take a different approach. I've been there, by the way. I'm very impressed by the country. They might change course. But overall, Asia, the Asians strike me as being very rational people. And they're looking at all of this and they must be shaking their heads with horror.
Harry Haralambos, thank you for that super chat. Sparky says, heading back to pre-French and American Revolution.
Yeah.
Michael Hall says, these people don't care about the people at all. They care about the control of the purse, the ability to stay in power continuously, corruption, creating chaos to confuse the people.
Absolutely correct. That's entirely right.
Etienne says, it's one of the techniques of mass manipulation where black becomes white, day becomes night, free speech becomes fascist, etc., etc.
Yes.
Yeah. Very true. Harry, thank you for that super chat. Dominique says, isn't ironic and worrying that the country with the strongest currency has an abysmal debt, is more divided than ever, has a military power now mainly based on a weapon not supposed to be used?
I think that's entirely correct. But I mean, the reason the dollar at the moment is strong is because of its reserve currency position. And of course, the fact that the dollar is a reserve currency can make it appear stronger than it really is. And dollar strength at this moment in time may not be a particular advantage for the United States. I mean, if you're talking about the US economy, one of the effects it has is it makes imports into the US cheaper. And it hurts American manufacturers. So I don't think that this is necessarily a good thing for the US. And I don't think it's a sign necessarily of strength. By the way, I mean, on the subject of currencies, never make the mistake of linking the strength of a country necessarily to its currency. Throughout the 17th and 18th century, the Spanish silver peso remained the most widely traded currency in the world, and its silver purity never faltered. And yet throughout that time, Spain was in decline.
Sudarshan, thank you for that super sticker. Paulie says, Klaus Schwab's son Oliver lives in Shanghai. They play both sides.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Try to, anyway.
Yeah. Sparky says, perhaps the last 2.5 centuries of freedom is a historical anomaly. Most of human civilized history is the few oppressing the many.
I'm afraid there may be some truth in that, but I hope that's wrong. It's a hope more than a knowledge. But I still want to believe that democracy is the way forward.
Sharon Inke, too, says, so what can ordinary people do to fight against the globalist elite agenda of enslaving all the rest of us?
Well, we can listen to each other. We can talk to each other. We can find all kinds of little ways to resist. And we can vote. We still have that power. And, always vote for the least wrong person if you can't find a right one. You can always create problems. And sooner or later, when the moment comes, you can protest. And protest can achieve a great deal. Garland Nixon made the point that if protest happens in a situation where the guards, the police, those people, change sides, then it can become, well, critical.
Mr. 13FNG says, Jackson is like a younger version of the great Michael Brooks. Rest in peace, Michael Brooks. You're missed now more than ever.
Yeah.
Etienne says, what about the U.S.? Go too far and you'll be branded and prosecuted as an insurrectionist.
Yeah, absolutely. Terrible situation that what's happening in the U.S. Terrible. A complete violation, an upturning of what the United States, what the founders envisaged the United States would be.
Jode, thank you for that super chat. Neurosurgery Highland says, Peter Zihan says, all oil trade from Russia can be stopped by stopping tankers coming from north into the Atlantic in Portugal or Latvia. Is this true?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, it might be true. But then, of course, what you're talking about then is using, in effect, a kind of military blockade, because how else would you stop tankers? You'd have to actually stop and seize tankers. Well, of course, they've been doing it, but this would be on a colossal scale. And I mean, it would be another step towards war. But then, of course, blowing up pipelines is that. Maybe we will come to that, create an even worse worldwide oil shortage and heighten international tensions even further. But, you know, these people, as I said many times, they have no reverse gear.
Henrik says this goes back all the way to the Great Schism. You see the same Western attitude at play at that point. That is projecting onto the East of what itself was doing, changing the creed, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, can I suggest that you read the history of a Byzantine princess, Anna Komnena, who wrote her opinions about the Western crusaders that came to Constantinople in the 12th century. And you find some very interesting parallels there between them, those Western crusaders, and the neocon crusaders of today. He's a very astute lady.
Shut it down, says, qui bono, to whom does the destruction of the pipeline benefit? Quite frankly, all parties, however easy as it is to blame the CIA, justifiably so, the EU stands out as the responsible party this time, Hegelian dialectic.
Well, qui bono is useful. I don't personally have any doubt about who did this.
Sudarshan, thank you for that super chat. Bauke says, Ursula, message from the crowd. We have tools too. Mr. 13FNG says, thanks to the moderators. Highly recommend checking out the locals community. Thank you for that. Sparky says, small business is the basis for the middle class. Without a large and thriving middle class, there's little chance economic stability. Economic stability is a significant long-term asset in and of itself.
Yes.
True. Innisfad says, those in the chat who are whining about DeSantis, take a look at who his major donors are. He is getting money from big Dem and Republican money, controlled opposition.
I will wait to see. I don't think he's given me that impression up to now, to be honest.
Patricia says, come on, Jackson, do you really trust our government to be in charge of our health care? That's the biggest problem with Medicare for all.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, I'm not going to get into this discussion. This is a discussion in the US, which Americans must resolve. Obviously, in Britain, we have a National Health Service, which is in the early stages of falling apart, as far as I can see.
Sudarshan says, we laugh at Germany, we know history.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mayanismar says, nothing, super chat, thank you for that. NGS says, a big problem for us Europeans is that we can't discuss important issues anymore as a result of social and media control.
True. It's perhaps the single most important thing.
NGS says that this developed under the guise of democracy and liberal values. How can we break free from this horrible situation?
Well, we first of all have to understand what is happening. And that means, as I said, talk about it with each other. You know what? I think it was Voltaire who actually did say this. Once the people begin to reason, all is lost. And that's true. The elites ultimately can only control the situation if people are comply with them.
Frogs Be Damned says, the USA has been having a joint military exercise with Sweden in Sweden the last few days. Check where the bombing occurred. Coincidence in timing and location?
No, not a coincidence.
Chris Music says, I keep hearing people use rapprochement, and I'm not sure exactly what it means. I'm not even sure I'm spelling it correctly. What is it?
It means basically reconciliation. If countries are engaging in rapprochement, they're trying to come closer together. They're seeking a reconciliation with each other. Something less than friendship and peace, but at least some attempt to get things back to normal.
Ruben Font says, bit late to the stream. Historically, when you have ground up in countries with relatively young populations. This is not the European case.
True enough. Okay, well, that has been history. And, you know, things, my experience is that there are no iron laws in history. And I accept that. We are older populations in Europe. That is a force for conservatism. But don't forget, old people can get angry too. They can protest as well. And if they see their pensions being eroded, their livelihoods gone, that can make them very angry. It is at the moment doing so in Britain.
Dern says European industry moving to the US.
Yeah, I've heard some talk of this. And who knows, it might start happening on a big scale as well.
J.G. Hostetler says, communism is bad, bad, bad. I don't think most MAGA folks agree if you're pushing communism with the MAGA movement. Jackson, you are young.
I think this is something I leave to Jackson to explain, because to be entirely frank, I myself have some questions there.
Nicholsong says, he who can destroy a thing controls a thing. I think we're seeing Europe fall first, and the U.S. and Asia will in turn. Both other regions, U.S. and China, certainly look primed. Ordobo Achao, resurrect like a phoenix in your chosen image.
Yeah, okay. Well, I certainly think that Europe is falling fast. I have to say this. I disagree with this theory that, you know, if Europe goes to pieces, the U.S. becomes stronger. The U.S. needs Europe to remain a superpower. That's my own personal view. I mean, it can't go back and just be a kind of island if it wants to maintain a kind of hegemonic, superiority. Of course, if it takes a different approach, if it says, well, you know, we're going to become an island continent and we're going to develop our own economy in the way that we did in the 19th and early 20th century, well, then that's different. But the neocon vision, destroying Europe doesn't make any kind of sense as far as I can see.
Phil N. says, you're hammering the target now. It's a currency war alongside the military conflict. The Fed is defending the U.S. dollar with higher rates, and the U.S. wants all oil trades to be in U.S. dollars.
Absolutely, yeah, that's entirely true. But, of course, it can't impose, or at least it's going to find it very difficult to impose, ideas about trading in dollars, in oil and gas, on countries that just don't want to. So the Chinese and the Russians, for example, are moving to rubles and RMB, and quite likely India and Russia will do the same with rubles and rupees.
Sparky says, why worry about neo-Nazis everywhere when we have plenty of originals in Ukraine?
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with that. I wish people in the West would understand that.
Me and Mysolar, thank you for that super chat. Freddie Monroe, thank you for that super sticker. Etienne says in Russian, Alexander, ya Amerikanets, ya lublu ruski kultura, izuchayu ruski yazyk.
Okay.
He says, Alexander, I'm American, I love Russian culture, and I'm learning the Russian language from Etienne.
Excellent.
Joanna says, Jackson, can you explain MAGA communism? I believe Jackson explained that during the live stream. Space Cake says, I like to ask Jackson how likely a civil war is in the USA. Some people predicting high tensions. Thank you.
We asked him that question.
Yeah. We asked him that. Moorfield Farm, thank you for that super chat. Gustav, thank you for that super sticker. Me and Mysel says, this is a comment for Alexander. Jackson is young. The latest Ukrainian counteroffenses remind me of Tet Offensive of 1968. This was the beginning of the end for the US in Vietnam.
I don't agree. I don't think they're anything like the Tet Offensive. If you want me to say what they much more resemble, what they look like much more to me, it's the various offensives that Germany launched in the last months of the Second World War. Germany went on a spree of launching offensives in all directions. The most famous one, of course, being the one it launched in the Ardennes in Belgium and France in the 1944. But, of course, it also launched offensives in Hungary, in Northern Europe, in all kinds of places. And what they eventually did was that they weakened Germany. And I'm sure I believe these offensives will do the same for Ukraine.
Harry, thank you for that super chat. Sudarshan says, you are not fooling anybody, said our foreign minister, Dr. Jaishankar.
Yeah.
Neurosurgery Highland says, war all choreographed to hide the EU being broke. Electric money coming. Only way to pay the debt.
Gosh, yeah.
Paul, thank you for that super chat. Sparky says, respect for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II put the UK ahead of other countries in many American minds.
Yeah.
Now to them, the UK may just be another English-speaking country.
Yeah. True.
Commando Crossfire says, if the SMO turns to a CTO, wouldn't sponsoring the target of the CTO mean sponsoring terrorism, CTO or self-defense? What would be the difference?
That's a very good question. I don't think there's going to be any practical difference, but I think it will be upgraded to CTO. I mean, the Denis Pushilin, the Crimean chief, has said as much. And I think that will result in a significant military escalation over the next few days. But, I mean, you know, the Russians are now talking about aggression, that if there's an attack, if this fighting in these four regions continues, then the Russians will consider that an act of aggression and will respond accordingly. So, you know, we might even go beyond the CTO.
Lander 15 says, I'm an American and I totally support Putin. As far as I'm concerned, he's the only adult in the room. Charlene, thank you for that super sticker. Tabernak says, if we can't win, we will make sure everyone loses.
No.
Eugene says, China is not a good faith actor. It's a terrible mistake for Putin to jump into bed with them. The blame lies with the EU and Biden.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I mean, I think you've answered your own question, because what practical choice has Russia, not just Putin, been given? I mean, obviously the Chinese follow their own interests, but if the Russians are under this relentless pressure all the time, they're going to have to look for friends.
NP says, you are all geopolitical superstars. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Raphael says, guys, remember I've been saying this for the long. Russia is getting ready to attack the USA, mano a mano. USA is not getting it. Russia wants them.
Okay.
Bella, thank you for that super sticker. Beer and Flies, thank you for that awesome super sticker. Things to Do says, I'm an American and being leery of when the media and government with the same message makes me support Putin. Sparky says, Iran's self-sufficient natural resource-wise.
Yeah, it's true, actually. It's got many, many problems in its economy, but I think some of them, to be frank, are homemade, in that I think that economic policy in Iran has not always been particularly well conceived or executed, and that's putting it generously.
RKB says, on Reddit, question posted today, what's your plan if a nuclear war breaks out between NATO and Russia? Top answer, I'm probably going to have to work that day. Can you imagine the corporate emails? Interesting. Balki says, how big the schadenfreude across Europe?
Schadenfreude with Britain? That's a good question anyway.
I don't know. Yeah. Sparky says, Jackson, cool it. Jury's still out on DeSantis.
Yeah.
Sudarshan says, here in South Asia, nobody is intimidated by the EU or NATO.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's absolutely true.
And David Chong says, European Research Group became the China Research Group after Brexit.
I didn't hear that.
And Harry, thank you for that super chat. That is everything. Thank you, everybody, for your questions.